Chapter 49. Vaughn turned left into the hills, and then left again and headed south, following a sign for Pueblo. Years before, Reacher had traveled the same road. Fort Carson lay between Colorado Springs and Pueblo, south of one and north of the other, bulked a little ways west of the main drag.
You okay with this?
I'm fine with it.
But?
It's an odd request. She didn't answer. And it's an odd word. You could have said, come and meet my husband or see him, but you said, visit. And who gets visitors? You already told me he isn't in jail or in the hospital. So where is he? In a rooming house, working away from home, permanently on duty somewhere, locked in his sister's attic?
I didn't say he wasn't in the hospital, Vaughn said. I said he didn't have cancer from smoking.
She forked right, away from an I-25 on-ramp, and used a state four-lane that seemed way too wide for the traffic it was getting. She drove a mile between green hills and turned left through a grove of pines on a worn gray road that had no center line. There was no wire and no painted sign, but Reacher was sure the land on both sides was owned by the Army. He knew there were thousands of spare acres beyond the northern tip of Fort Carson, requisitioned decades ago at the height of hot or cold war fever, and never really used for much. And what he was seeing out the window looked exactly like Department of Defense property. It looked the same everywhere. Nature made uniform. A little sullen, a little half-hearted, somewhat beaten down, neither raw nor developed. Vaughn slowed after another mile and made a right into a half-hidden driveway. She passed between two squat brick pillars. The bricks were smooth, tan items, and the mortar was yellow. Standard Army issue, back in the middle 50s. The pillars had hinges, but no gates. 20 yards farther on was a modern billboard on thin metal legs. The billboard had some kind of a corporate logo and the words, Olympic TBI Center, on it. 20 yards later, another billboard said, Authorized Personnel Only. 20 yards after that, the driveway's shoulders had been mowed, but not recently. The mown section ran on straight for 100 yards and led to a carriage circle in front of a group of low brick buildings. Army buildings, long ago deemed surplus to requirements and sold off. Reacher recognized the architecture. Brick and tile, green metal window casements, green tubular handrails, radiused corners, built back when chamfered edges had looked like the future. In the center of the carriage circle was a round patch of weedy dirt, where once a CO would have been proud of a rose garden. The change of ownership was confirmed by a repeat of the first billboard next to the main entrance hall. The corporate logo plus Olympic TBI Center, again. A section of lawn on the right had been hacked out and replaced by gravel. There were 5 cars on it, all of them with local plates, none of them new or clean. Vaughn parked the Crown Vic on the end of the line and shut it down. First the shifter, then the brake, then the key. A slow and deliberate sequence. She sat back in her seat and dropped her hands to her lap.
Ready?
For what? She didn't answer. Just opened her door and swiveled on the sticky, mouse-fur seat and climbed out. Reacher did the same on his side. They walked together to the entrance. 3 steps up, through the doors, onto the kind of mottled green tile floor Reacher had walked 1,000 times before. The place was recognizably mid-50s U.S. Army. It felt abandoned and run down, and there were new mandated smoke detectors sloppily wired through exposed plastic conduits, but otherwise it couldn't have changed much.
There was an oak hutch on the right, where once a busy sergeant would have sat. Now it was occupied by a mess of what looked like medical case notes and a civilian in a gray sweatshirt. He was a thin, sullen man of about 40. He had unwashed black hair worn a little too long. He said, "Oh, Mrs. Vaughn." Nothing more. No warmth in his voice. No enthusiasm. Vaughn nodded, but didn't look at the guy or reply. She just walked to the back of the hall and turned into a large room that in the old days might have served any one of a number of different purposes. It might have been a waiting room, or a reception lounge, or an officer's club. Now it was different. It was dirty and badly maintained. Stained walls, dull floor, dust all over it. Cobwebs on the ceiling. It smelled faintly of antiseptic and urine. It had big, red, waist-high panic buttons wired through more plastic conduit. It was completely empty, except for two men strapped into wheelchairs. Both men were young. Both were entirely slack and still. Both had open mouths. Both had empty gazes focused 1,000 miles in front of them. Both had shaved heads and misshapen skulls and wicked scars. Richard stood still, looked at the panic buttons, thought back to the medical files. He was in a clinic. He looked at the guys in the wheelchairs. He was in a residential home. He looked at the dust and the dirt. He was in a dumping ground. He thought back to the initials on the billboard, TBI, traumatic brain injury. Vaughn had moved on into a corridor. He caught up with her halfway along its length. "Your husband had an accident?"
"Not exactly."
"Then what?"
"Figure it out."
Reacher stopped again. Both men were young. An old army building, mothballed and then reused. "War wounds. Your husband is military. He went to Iraq." Vaughn nodded as she walked.
"National Guard, his second tour. They extended his deployment, didn't armor his Humvee. He was blown up by an IED in Ramadi."
She turned into another corridor. It was dirty. Dust balls had collected against the baseboards. Some were peppered with mouse droppings. The light bulbs were dim to save money on electricity. Some were out and had not been changed to save money on labor. Reacher asked, "Is this a VA facility?" Vaughn shook her head.
"Private contractor. Political connections. A sweetheart deal. Free real estate. And big appropriations."
She stopped at a dull green door. No doubt, 50 years earlier it had been painted by a private soldier in a color and in a manner specified by the Pentagon, with materials drawn from a quartermaster's stores. Then the private soldier's workmanship had been inspected by an NCO, and the NCO's approval had been validated by an officer's. Since then, the door had received no further attention. It had dulled and faded and gotten battered and scratched. Now it had a wax pencil scrawl on it, D.R. Vaughn, and a string of digits that might have been his service number or his case number.
"Ready?"
Vaughn asked. "When you are."
"I'm never ready."
She turned the handle and opened the door.